The first reading is from Acts 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "Well, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offering, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Peter. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Are you ready? John is ready. A couple others. He doesn't even know what on earth for yet, but he's ready. Are you ready? Ready for what? Are you ready? I ask this because the time is now. Time for what? Well, because of the nature of life and the days in which we live, the number of things that could answer that question could be nearly endless. Are you ready for summer vacation? Are you ready for school to end? Are you ready for the next phase of your life? And that particularly could apply to those who have just graduated from high school that we'll be celebrating right after the message today. Some would answer with an enthusiastic yes if the question was, are you ready for better health? And seeing as you are all here in this place this morning, I'm hoping and praying that you're saying by your presence that you are ready to bring worship to Jesus, to have a time of sweet edification because of being in His presence. And that last one gets us closer to the gist of what I'm getting at when I ask, are you ready? Because the time is now. In the gospel lesson this morning, we find Jesus spending time with His disciples on a Thursday. They are observing the Passover. It would be the night when Jesus instituted His Holy Supper and taught that His supper supplanted Passover because He is the Lamb of God sent to take away the sins of the world and making it possible for God's righteous judgment on humankind because of their sins that God could pass us over. It would be the night when He washed the disciples' feet. It would be the night that He perhaps came closest to sin when He prayed that if it be possible that the cup of suffering He was about to endure would be taken away. And thankfully, He didn't give in to that temptation, or we would all be without hope. It would be the night of His betrayal, of His arrest, His trial, and His conviction, all of which led to His crucifixion the next morning. So much took place on that night that John's Gospel, about a quarter of John's Gospel, is devoted to Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. And on that Thursday, He also did a great deal of teaching. Listen to this portion of His teaching from that night. Right at the beginning of the Gospel lesson that you see on the back of your folder, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." If you love me, you will keep my commands. Notice that the followers of Jesus don't live in accordance with the teachings of Jesus because we have to. We live them because of our love for Him. And that should be a no-brainer for us, should it not? Jesus Christ, true man and true God, gave his very life, died so that you and I could be forgiven our sins and have the promise of a place in God's heaven. And that being the case, Jesus dying for us and accomplishing this for us, well, that should easily motivate us to love him in response by keeping his commands. But do we? And the honest answer for we who believe in Jesus as our Savior is that sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. There are times, I believe, when we bring a big old smile to the face of God. And there are times, too many times, when we are greatly disappointing him because of what we have said or done or thought or what we failed to do. Simul justus et peccator. A Latin phrase that Martin Luther liked to use to describe our situation this side of heaven. It means saint and sinner at the same time. Though we are made right with God, justified through the work of Jesus in His death and resurrection by means of faith that God has graciously placed within us, still, we have that persistent and stubborn sinful nature. That part of us that doesn't want to love God, doesn't want to live for Him, and in fact wants to reject Him every chance it gets. Hate that old sinful nature, I do. But there it is. Ever ready to lead us astray. What to do? Enter what we heard Jesus say next. We continue with that lesson. Right after that first sentence. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him because He lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit. In 2 weeks, we will observe we will have our annual observance of Pentecost. But here's the thing. Like our theme today says, the time is now. We don't have to wait 2 weeks to involve the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is present now. Let's take a look at what Jesus says here. First, He says that He will ask the Father to send an advocate to us. Jesus knows that He's leaving earth in just a matter of days. He also knows that we all struggle and need to do battle with that sinful nature. He knows that by ourselves we will but fail in that battle. So, He sends His Spirit to help us. And notice what He says. He says the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, referring to the Holy Spirit. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Now, did you capture that? Jesus intentionally draws a distinction between how the disciples interacted with the Holy Spirit right then and there in the upper room and how they will relate with the Holy Spirit at some point in the future. The Spirit is with them now. And this is primarily because it is the Spirit who places faith within us. He's with them but before too long, he will be in them. Now, this isn't a perfect analogy, but I remember being a freshman in high school. Well, I guess I have maybe a little bit more than a half a brain functioning because I do remember that. I remember being a freshman in high school, and one day after practice, the varsity basketball coach asked me if I'd like to move up to varsity. I thought about it for about all of 5 seconds and told him no. I told him no because I wanted to be in the game, not sitting on the bench, which I'd surely do on the varsity team. When the Holy Spirit is released within a person, he moves from cheering us on from the sidelines or on the bench to actually getting into the flow of the game. Being in us, he wants to give us everything we need in our struggles of life and in our battle against our sinful nature. My friends, the time is now. The time to be filled with the Spirit of God and live life under His guidance and equipping is now. Take Peter as an example. On this same night, Jesus tells the disciples that while one of them would betray him, that would be Judas, while one of them would betray him, he also says that all of them will desert or deny him. Well, Peter would have none of that. He said, Lord, even if all the others desert you, I will not. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And then, as I'm sure we know, Jesus said to Peter right then and there, I tell you the truth. This very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And that's exactly what happened. Peter chickened out. The Spirit was with him, but not in him. But wait. When Peter and the others were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, some 53 or 54 days later, they stood up and boldly proclaimed Jesus right there in the temple district within the hearing of the very men who arrested Jesus and condemned him to death. They stood and told the people all about the things Jesus had done. Yes, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit made all the difference in the world. Friends, the Spirit of God brings us courage when we are scared. He brings us peace when we are troubled. He places spiritual gifts within us so that we can minister to others all kinds of needful and beneficial ways. He brings us power so that we can boldly proclaim Jesus to others no matter what they may think. And so that God can do His mighty works through us to touch the lives of others, be it through healings or miracles, or the biggest miracle of all, placing saving faith in the lives of those who hear us speak of Jesus with confidence and conviction. Yes, my friends, the time is now. It's time to say yes to the Spirit of God within. Now, there are people who make a big deal or a big fuss about terminology. When referring to the presence of the Holy Spirit within, some like to use the phrase being baptized in or with the Holy Spirit. Some like to use the phrase being filled with the Spirit. Still others prefer to use the phrase being released in the Spirit. Use of such terms can be helpful when used rightly, but also can bring division when used wrongly. Listen, I don't care I don't care how some might term the presence of the Spirit within. The important thing is this. Is the Spirit of God welcome and free to bring all He wants to bring to one's life? Let's make it more real. Is the Spirit of God welcome and free to bring all He wants to your life? The sad truth is, most Christians like the fact that the Holy Spirit is real and around. But most of the time, they keep Him on the bench. I do that. I do at times. When I get spiritually lazy and try to live my life based upon my own skills and abilities, that's when the sinful nature wins the day. The same is true for all of us. On this day, this very day, come to communion and pray for the Spirit of God to be fully active in your life the way He wants to be active. Do that. Have that openness within you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit want this for you. God wants to bless you with more of Himself. And how can that be bad? Do this. For the time is now. And then, do it again tomorrow. And do it the day after that. And the day after that. Every morning. For the time is now. Be filled. Be released. Be baptized. Be inundated. Be flooded. Whatever term you choose to use. Allow the Spirit of God to have you. Amen.